will find an authorized version of Holy Scripture in front of you in the pew. Pick it up and turn with me to the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. We're reading some verses from this chapter tonight, from verse 1 to verse 10. The third chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Amen. And God will give his seal of approval to the reading from his very own infallible book for his great name's sake. I'm sure today we have all been impressed by being reminded of what happened 60 years ago, when Nazism and fascism had the nations of Europe by the throat, and when the time came when the forces of the Allies had to go and invade France and start the second front against the enemy. If that had not been successful, who could imagine what the history of these past 60 years would have been like? We've only to look at the nations of Germany, the nations of Europe that came under the jackboot of Germany during their occupation by the German military forces, to know the persecution, to know the atrocities, to know the darkness and the hell that they created among them. It was, of course, not a certainty that whereby invading Normandy, the Allies could retain at least a foothold on the mainland of Europe. In fact, it was revealed today in one of the programs that the general of the Allies, he himself wrote a document to be released if the whole operation faltered and failed. So we were on the verge of catastrophe and ruin. But with the grim sacrifice of 50,000 fighting men who fell to give us our freedom. God graciously blessed our arms, and God smote the enemy, and eventually Europe was freed. We tonight need to give God thanks for his gracious and beneficial interference and intervention in the affairs of our nation. I have failed to hear from those in high places any real acknowledgement of God, any real acknowledgement of the intervention of God, any real thanksgiving to the God of heaven. And time after time, when at Westminster I've asked for the present Prime Minister to have a national day of prayer, he has refused to have a national day of prayer. Said if people want to pray, that's their business. It's not their business, it's God's business to demand of his creatures the reverence and the holy awe and the holy fear that they should have for the Lord God Almighty. But you know, when you hear the tributes, you can see just how far our nation has departed. Because all the tributes are tributes without hope. They are tributes without gospel. They are tributes without heaven. They are tributes without the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Most of the tributes are like this. Cover them with beautiful flowers. Deck them with garlands, those brothers of ours. Lying so silent by night and by day, sleeping the years of their manhood away, years they have marked for the joys of the brave, years they must waste in the sloth of the grave, all the bright laurels that promised to bloom fell to the earth when they went to the tomb. Give them the meed that they have won in the past, give them the honors their merits forecast, give them the chaplets they won in the strife, give them the laurels they lost with their life. Cover them over, yes, cover them over, parent and husband, and brother and lover, crown in your heart these dead heroes of ours. Cover them with the most beautiful of our flowers. And that's about all they can say. But thank God tonight, we are not ignorant of divine truth. God has a gospel for this world of sin and for this world of sinners. And God has a message of hope to those who are without God and without hope in this world. And God has spared this nation of ours. And he has spared this nation for a divine purpose. 100 years ago, a great revival broke out in the Principality of Wales, the 1904 revival. The first little church that was built by Evan Roberts, the leader of that revival, to house the converts from the mine that he worked in and whom he had led to Christ. That little church is now a free Presbyterian church sitting in Locher Valley. Pray for it, that it may be a light in a dark place, for it is a dark place that they are in. But God moved, and inside 1 year, 100,000 people had joined the evangelical Protestant churches of Wales. 100,000 people. Think of it. It is no secret what our God can do. And amidst the darkness and unbelief and apostasy and the infidelity of our day, God is still upon his throne. And God still answers prayer. I thought this afternoon of the expression D-Day. Some people say it stands for Deliverance Day or other things, but actually it just stood for D-Day because D was the initial letter of the word day. And you know, all our lives have certain important D-Days. I want to mention them to you tonight, and I trust you will take a look at them with me. First of all, of course, there is our Deliverance Day, when we were born into the world. There is a time to live, and there is a time to die. There is a time to be born and a time to die. God, in his infinite mercy, caused us to be delivered in childbirth and to grow and spend our time in this world until this very night. Others who were born at the same time, we have outlived them, but we are still here living in this world. There is a time to be born. In the calendar of God, God marked that time for all eternity. You are not secondary in the mind of God. You are primary in the mind of God. God has no special person. He doesn't give favor to anyone. All men are equal in his sight. And God decreed from eternity that on a certain minute of a certain day, at a certain hour, you would be born. And you were safely delivered. And you have lived to this day. You have been preserved in a world which is full of accidents, full of diseases, full of deaths. But you have been preserved to this day. There's a time to be born. And you have benefited from Deliverance Day. It's an interesting thing that you sit in this house tonight, and after all of these years, here you are in health and strength with your faculties. Why? Because of that Deliverance Day. The wonder of it, that God in his grace, in his omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence, decreed the time had come for you to live. A time to live. There is also a developing day. In this passage of Scripture, we read about the time to plant and grow. And there is a time to grow. And so you have to be growing through the stages of life, from infancy to childhood, from childhood to teenage into your 20s, and then on up the line. Why are you here tonight? Why are those of you that sat with your friends at school who are long since deceased, and yet you are still here? in the land of the living because of God. Because of God. God has decreed that there was a time for you to grow, and a time for you to develop, and a time for you to pass through the phases of development and growth. And all of those days that you have had in your life have been days surrounded with the possibilities of death. And death has not touched you. It has left you alone. Why? Because of the decrees of God. Because of God's decrees. And God has ordained that you should have that delivering day. And that developing a day. And here you are in the house of God tonight. And you have had the D-Day of deliverance and the D-Day of development. But as you have gone on in life, you have come to desperate days. Days of desperation. There have been days when you have been at wit's end corner. There have been days when the pressures of living have got into your mind and into your heart and into your conscience and into your total physical and moral makeup. Desperate days. Times when fear has come in like a mighty flood of waters and enveloped your soul and plunged you into the darkness of the depths of fear. Desperate days. Days when your world seemed already to be caving in around you. Days when loved ones have been called from time into eternity. Days when sickness took hold of your body and you suffered. Days when you lost your loved ones and stood at the open grave and wept your scalding salt tears onto the coffin lid. It was a desperate time for you, because all of us must know that we're born to trouble in this sinful world, and there's no escape from it. The banking balance of the greatest millionaire can't keep trouble from his home and from his body. He's not immune by his wealth or power from that. Yes, desperate days in our life. Many years ago, I had a police officer who looked after my well-being and protected me. I witnessed to him. He had been a backslider, and thank God he got restored to the Lord. In this house, I led his dear wife to Christ. And both of them witnessed to their neighbors. And their neighbors came under conviction of sin. They started to attend the services. And the wife in the family next door came to Christ. But the husband didn't come to Christ. Now that's over 30 years ago. That's a long time. The wonderful joy the other day of pointing that dear man to the Savior. And he's bubbling over with joy. But when he talks about it, he weeps. And he says, "Look what I have lost. What a fool I was, rejecting the Savior. And you came with the message of the gospel, and I was touched, and my wife was converted. My neighbors had been converted, and here was I, resisting, saying no. But thank God that's all past, and that man has left that desperate day for a delightful day. And it's always a delightful day when a sinner is washed in the blood of the Lamb. The music of heaven burst forth, and every instrument in the orchestra of heaven sounds the loudest praises it can to the blessed Savior. And as heaven sings of the joy of another sinner coming home to God. You should not live, my friend, with the darkness and the shadow of the desperate days of life upon you. You should come to God's delightful day. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. That can be your experience tonight. By coming simply in that seat where you are, leave the desperate day for the delightful day. And that brings me to the next point. That means it's decision day. The time for decision. Think of all the years you've wasted. Think of all the follies you have committed. Think of all the foolish things that have brought fear and darkness and worry to your home and to your hearts. Oh, my friend, today this is decision day for you. You need to come to Christ now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day. Now is the day. Now is the day of salvation. You've got to come. I would urge upon you, when you think of all that God has done for you personally, and all that God has done for your country nationally, you should be on your knees making that great decision that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though coming weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure. Thou dost my vileness fully cleanse, till spotless all and pure. I am coming, Lord, coming now to Thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Yes, it's decision day. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And as I looked at the great multitudes, and I looked at the great people of our world of politics and business and the medical and the military world, I thought of the barrenness of their life. I thought of the sadness of their life. I thought of what they had missed, and what they could have gained if they had only decided to be on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Decision day has come. It's come before, and you have shut the door, and you have put up the chains, and you have driven in the bars, and you've turned the key. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Oh, friend, it's decision day for you tonight. But then death day is coming. Death day. I was reading the words of a great preacher this afternoon, Dr. James Hamilton, who had a wonderful ministry in London, running at the same time as the great C.H. Spurgeon preached there. And Hamilton said this: mortality is a huge timepiece wound up by the Almighty Maker. And after he has set it a-going, nothing can stop it till the angel swears that time shall be no longer. But here it ever vibrates and ever advances, taking one child of Adam into existence and taking another out. Now it gives the world of one warning, and the world may look out for some great event, and presently it fulfills its warning and rings in the noisy revolution. But there, as its index travels on, so resolute and tranquil, what tears and raptures, what tears and raptures attends the progress of time. It was only another wag of the sleepless pendulum, but it was fraught with destiny. And a fortune was made, a heart was broken, and an empire fell. We cannot read the writing on the mystic cogs as they're coming slow, but each of them is coming on God's errand and carries in its graven brass the divine decree of God's purpose for you and me. Now, however, now that the moment is past, we know, and in the fulfillment we can read the fate. This instance is so common. To King Solomon, the writer of these words in the Bible, God said, "Be born." And King Solomon was born. But the same God said, "Die." And the greatest king that ever ruled on earth was plucked up. This is inevitable. The great clock of human destiny moves on, till a mighty hand shall grasp its heart and hush forever its pulse of iron. We are mortal men and women, going down the valley one by one, with our faces toward the setting of the sun, down the valley where the mournful cypress grows, where the stream of death and silence onward flows. We are going down the valley. We are going down the valley one by one. Death day is coming. But after death day, there's destiny day. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after death, the judgment, then shall the final destiny be written. Then shall the final word be spoken. then shall the unchanging eternity be the lot appointed by the unchanging God to the person that stands for judgment at God's bar. Destiny day. And he shall say to those on the right, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. And he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. Are your ears going to hear the word depart? Or are they going to hear the word of welcome from the God who will judge all the earth? These are the matters we should all be attending to tonight, because on them rests our hopes for time and for eternity. May God touch your heart, sinner, and call you by his grace to salvation and faith in the Savior. And may God work upon you, dear backslider, and may you return to your first love for Christ. And may God increase our passion as believers for the lost souls that are all around us. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee for the offer of the gospel, for his outstretched hand, for his constant knocking at the heart's door, for his voice raised in love and invitation. O God, help sinners to respond to the call of the gospel and come home to God. Come home to righteousness and come home to his great salvation. Father, undertake for us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And Amen.